Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Law Schoolers, and we are continuing our discussion on criminal procedure, and we are continuing our discussion on full searches and seizures. Last episode, we talked about the warrant and the warrant requirements and when you might need a warrant. In this episode, we are going to be talking about exigency and special needs. In other words, these are going to be exceptions to the warrant requirements. So, essentially, this is going to be what happens if a search is conducted without a warrant. And we're going to talk about what is required in order for those things to actually be there. First and foremost, I do want to mention, regardless of whether or not you have a warrant, if you're going to conduct a full search or do a full seizure, you need to have probable cause. That is the requirement, regardless of the warrant. Now, if you don't have a warrant, well, then you need to have an exigent circumstance. And this is what we're going to be getting into throughout all of this material. Okay, so let's talk about warrantless searches based on these exigent circumstances. Exigent circumstances exist when there is a need to protect an officer or protect the public or to keep a potential suspect from fleeing or destroying evidence. In these type of circumstances, a search may be conducted without a warrant. Our example here is State versus Walker. The test outlined in this case says that a warrantless search requires first, and again foremost, probable cause, and second, an exigent circumstances. These exigent circumstances exist when the exigencies of the situation make the needs of law enforcement so compelling that warrantless search is objectively reasonable. This is a preponderance of the evidence standard. Examples of exigent circumstances are going to include fear of officer safety or public safety, flight, destruction of evidence, or the seriousness of the crime that is being committed. However, the police cannot create the exigent circumstances themselves. To determine whether or not the police create the exigent circumstances, you need to see if the police actions would make it reasonably foreseeable that the police conduct would lead to the circumstances of the event or potential bad faith conduct. Another test underneath Kentuck versus King, the police did create the exigency by threatening to engage in conduct that violates the Fourth Amendment. So what would be an example of the police creating the exigent circumstance? Well, if the officers approach the door of the person's home, the officers are kind of standing out on the lawn and saying, "We're officers, we're going to help while we're here to arrest you," or whatever it might be, and then people might flee, they don't have a, and the officers don't have a warrant. Well, then this is an exigent circumstance that the police created by nature of being there as police officers. Now, if the police officers are undercover, or if they're doing their job well or appropriately, well, then even if the person is fleeing because the officers are there, if the officers did a reasonable job, well, then, and if they're just keeping the status quo, well, then the officers did not create the exigent circumstance there. And that's outlined in MacArthur, where it says, you know, police officers have probable cause to maintain the status quo while they are waiting for a search warrant and that kind of situation. Okay, so let's talk about no-knock warrants. The traditional rule is that police officers have to knock and announce their identity as officers when they are executing a warrant. And now a no-knock warrant is when the officers don't knock and announce their identity when they are executing a warrant. In State versus Onion, no-knock warrants were only allowed to be premeditated if it was made by a neutral and detached magistrate included in the actual application. Otherwise, no-knock warrants are not going to be allowed unless there is an unexpected exigent circumstance that arises on the scene. In this situation, a no-knock warrant was conducted and the search had been made, and now the defendant is trying to bar evidence that was obtained by the no-knock warrant. these type of warrants are going to be highly disfavored because there's a huge potential for violent and needless destruction of property. This is primarily going to be because if you don't announce who you are and somebody's breaking into your home, you're more likely to fight back. And so that's no exception for the officers. If they don't know officers are breaking into your home, well, then you might be more likely to fight back, regardless of whether or not you may be committing the crime or not. The rule to announce a knock is the standard underneath Wilson, another case described earlier, but the exception of exigent circumstances could overcome this standard if there is a reasonable suspicion of harm to the police or the destruction of evidence. That would be an example of the exigent circumstances where no knock warrant may be justified. However, if the information related to the crime is known beforehand, there's no evidence that an exigent circumstance might occur in that kind of situation, well, then a no-knock must be approved by a neutral magistrate. If that information is obtained in the moment, well, then the police need to make that call. Well, or can make that call. On one final note related to this case, when the police are trying to obtain a warrant, they have the burden of proof to actually obtain it. They need to show, hey, we had probable cause. But if they have a warrant, then at trial, if the defendant is trying to suppress the evidence, well, then they need to show that there was an absence of probable cause and to keep that information from getting in. Because obviously, you have to have both probable cause, and then if you don't have a warrant, you need to have an exigent circumstance. But probable cause is going to be that uniform factor that is going to be present. Okay, let's talk about special needs of searches. We have Camara versus the Municipality Court of San Francisco. The court originally said in Frank versus Maryland that there was no need to obtain a warrant for administrative searches. However, this court in this case overturned that part of Frank that says that a warrant is required and that probable cause is going to be the standard. However, the amount of probable cause is going to be less where the court is going to balance personal rights and state interests. Here, and there is an interest for the state in preventing health and safety standards. Let me talk about what actually happened in this case real quick. Let me make sure that I get this right. Yes. So in this case, there was a person who was living in a basement apartment complex and was using the apartment for improper uses, or there was something wrong with the apartment complex, and somebody came to the complex, wanted to look at that basement apartment, and did so, and said that they didn't need a warrant to do so. This was just a safety person. It was not an officer. And what the court in this case is saying that you still need to have a warrant and probable cause for that. But your amount of probable cause is actually going to be less because the states are going to balance personal rights and state interests instead. So that's the background for this case. In this situation, there is a state interest in preventing health and safety issues and promoting health and safety standards. Additionally, there are personal rights interests in the privacy, and as such, the rule is articulated as not necessarily being dependent on the specific knowledge of the condition of the particular dwelling. The dissent in this case does argue that Frank should be the main approach, that is, you don't need to have a warrant for administrative searches. Particularly, the dissent is going to argue that warrants are not needed here because these warrants will be readily granted and they're going to destroy the integrity of the warrant system as a whole. The issue with the court it's an issue because the court's saying warrants require probable cause, but they're saying they're changing the definition of probable cause to kind of fit this system. of administrative searches. Because this definition of probable cause being less, it honestly sounds like it's more of a reasonable suspicion standard rather than a probable cause standard, but it's still defined as probable cause. And that's the key takeaway there. And that's why the dissent argues with it, is because you're saying, look, these are going to be readily granted because you don't really need probable cause, even though you're saying that you need probable cause. There are still going to be exceptions to this warrant requirement as well. This is going to be if there's an emergency and there's no need to wait for a warrant to, say, put out a fire or to do a medical, to rush in to help somebody who is in medical peril. And the second exception is if it's a highly regulated industry, you don't need a warrant there too. A good case for that is called Donovan. If the industry is highly regulated and inherently dangerous, meaning liquor stores, mining, automobile junkyards, and then gun stores, you don't need a warrant to search or conduct an administrative search at those locations. This is not going to apply to hotels, though. Even though it's a highly regulated industry, it's not inherently dangerous. And so that is, you still need a warrant if you're going to search a hotel. And the case there is Patel. All right, that's everything as far as exigency and special needs. Just to sum it up, you need probable cause no matter what you're doing to conduct a full search. If you have probable cause but you don't have a warrant, well, then you need to have exigent circumstances. Exigent circumstances are going to be there to protect the officers, the public, potential suspect, or from the suspect fleeing or destroying evidence. If that's the case, good examples of that are going to be flight, destruction of evidence, or if the crime is very serious, well, then you might have an exigent circumstance. No-knock warrants, exigent circumstances only apply when if they're not police-created, and that's just generally as well. They can't be police-created, and no-knock warrants are going to be highly disfavored. They can be done without magistrate approval if the information obtained, the exigent circumstances obtained, were very, very quick on the spot. And then when it comes to special needs searches, such as administrative searches, you still need a warrant there, even if the probable cause definition has been altered. Okay, that's everything there. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro, and you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.